You're listening to STP Radio.
Welcome back to STP Radio. I'm your host, Mike Wiles, and I'm so excited to conduct another interview with two of the upcoming speakers at our Spring 2017 STPCon conference. In case you've not signed up yet, STPCon will be in Phoenix, Arizona from March the 14th through the 17th this year. And if you reach out to me, I can share a discount code for your registration. Be sure to check out stpcon.com where you can learn more about the conference, the speakers, our special events, and our conference pricing. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Look for @SoftwareTestPro on both of these social networks. So let's meet our guests for today. Today we have Angie Jones and Paul Merrill. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you for being on the show. And I wanted to give a quick introduction for each of you today and just let the folks know a little bit more about you. So Angie is a consulting automation engineer at LexisNexis, who advises several Scrum teams on automation strategies and has developed automation frameworks for countless software products. As a master inventor, she is known for her innovative and out-of-the-box thinking style, which has resulted in more than 20 patented inventions in the U.S. and China. Angie is also an adjunct college professor who teaches Java programming and is a strong advocate for diversity in technology. She volunteers with organizations who champion this cause, such as Tech Girls and Black Girls Code. Paul is a principal software engineer in test and founder of Beaufort Fairmont. He spent the last 17 years implementing solutions for a wide range of industries, from healthcare to advertising to mobile. Paul spends his time working to transition teams to automated testing. Beaufort Fairmont Automated Testing Services helps organizations transition to automated testing. You're agile, but is your testing agile? Paul co-hosts Reflection as a Service, which is a podcast about software development, automated testing, tech, and entrepreneurism. I've been fortunate to be part of this podcast, so today I get to return the favor. And I don't know if it's easier or more difficult on this end of the line, Paul.
I don't either, but I appreciate being here. It's going to be fun. It's nice to talk to you again, Mike.
I'd like to start with each of you and have you tell us a little bit about yourself more and how you got into testing. So let's start with Angie.
Sure. So it's kind of a funny story. I actually entered into the field right after college. When I was made the offer as a college hire, I was made the offer as a developer. And when I got there, by the time I got there, things had kind of shifted a bit and they had some reorgs. And so the position that they had available then was in test automation. And so I entered there. I kind of felt slighted a bit, like, this is not what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a developer. And so, whatever, I went with the flow, and I actually learned a lot about testing from my colleagues, and I was able to use my programming skills and things like that. So I enjoyed it, but because I felt slighted, I still pushed my manager to move me into development. And so eventually they did, maybe about after 2 years or so, they moved me into a development role, and I absolutely hated it. I dreaded every moment of it. And it just was so different. Like, I was programming, but it was just so different. My outlook on the application, I kind of lost my big picture view. I wasn't able to explore, and I just felt very kind of heads down. It wasn't as collaborative. I was stuck on whatever feature I was working on, and that's it. And so I got out of there as fast as I could and got back into test automation, which I loved, and actually got pushed in development a second time, this time not by my own will, but they just needed a strong programmer. And so they moved me over there. And hated it again. You know, I tried to go in with a positive look and think, well, maybe it'll be different this time, but it wasn't the same kind of thing. So I got back into automation again and never left again.
Wow. So how about you, Paul? How did you get into this and get started in testing?
Yeah. So, I was kind of the opposite from Angie. I think I got into programming and got a job in programming after school, and enjoyed it for a lot of years. My first introduction to kind of testing was within extreme programming. And so we were doing pair programming and all those types of things and deploying quite often and writing acceptance tests, automated acceptance tests back in the early 2000s. And I found that to be so much fun. We had to kind of write everything from the ground up because we didn't have as many great tools as we do today for some of that kind of stuff, especially in the open source world. And so I had the opportunity to do some acceptance testing and to create those acceptance tests. And it was just really cool to see these robots, to see this computer do the work that you would have had to do yourself and to check whether or not the application was doing what you expected it to do. And ever since that point, I kept getting back into test automation. And over the years, what I decided was this is a really nice niche, and it's one that I think is underserved. I think that we can use a lot more good people in this area of test automation. And I also found that I just love being around testers. And frankly, I was kind of born as a tester. I walk into a Best Buy and stuff just starts breaking all around me. So I think I'm just kind of that way, you know.
That's one thing that I notice about people who are in testing, and a lot of folks will say, you know, if you've met people that don't work in the testing field or someone in your organization that says we need a tester, to them sometimes it's oh, we can just get somebody off the street, or we could hire college kids, we could hire young adults to come in and do this, or we could hire our family to help us do this. And I think one thing I've seen when I'm doing interviews or I'm bringing someone in, you kind of sense it. It's like they're born to be a tester. You can feel it with some of the questions that I've asked in interviews. I can get right to the point with someone and tell, were they born to be a tester? You might struggle with, am I going to be a developer? Am I going to do this role? I did development for years and loved it. I thought in sixth grade, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Yeah. But I realized the passion of testing and the love of finding things and inspecting and finding things wrong and being able to report that was just more than anything else. So you both are co-presenting a workshop called The Dominoes of Automation. And I remember the day you reached out to me, Paul, and said, I've got an idea. What do you think about this? And it just resonated with me, because I think using stories and using examples or metaphors to me is one of the most creative ways to tell people what you're trying to get across to them. And I think this workshop is designed to use dominoes and solving puzzles to better explain how organizations can build good automation into their practice. And I'd really like to hear from both of you on what you're hoping to do during the workshop and what you hope to accomplish with the audience there.
Yeah, you know, it was something that came together after being at STP last year. Just realizing that as adults, we still like to have fun. And most of the time, we like to have fun the same way that kids do. And to play with dominoes and see them topple and set them up in different ways and try to solve puzzles with them, that's all fun. And then figuring out with Angie, working with Angie has been terrific, trying to take both of our ideas and work together to create something that works for people and to teach the lessons that we're trying to teach.
So some of the lessons in there are like, we kind of take you through a journey of automation, right? Test automation. So starting out with, which test do I automate? So this is a question that I get a lot. I imagine Paul gets a lot as well, just knowing what to go after. So we'll teach that in there. We'll also have things around the automation pyramid and design considerations. So knowing how to design your automation test in the most optimal way. We'll look at continuous integration and how automation plays with that. And then also some test case management. So whole kind of life cycle, if you will, of test automation.
We're already seeing a lot of folks sign up for this one and some of your sessions as well. And I think it's really resonating with folks. They're starting to, you know, to sign up. And I think this is going to be one of those that folks feel they can come to, take away some really good ideas, go back to their organization, wherever they are, whether they're in the early stages, you might be able to help them redirect themselves, or whether they're all their way through and they're doing the practice, but they don't know if they're doing it right. I think this is going to be really good. And I'm really excited to see what you guys do in the workshop.
We are too. I think it's very approachable, and it's a lot of fun. We've practiced this already. Angie and I have sat down and done it. We've done it with one of the local meetups, and it's been a lot of fun. We've learned a lot by doing it with other groups first. But this will be the first full-on, 4-hour expanse of this. We've done each part together, but looking forward to doing it there. It's terrific to hear that people are excited about it. That's great. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I have some video I'll put out on Twitter later of the last time we did it too. Okay.
Oh, that's perfect. Perfect. So I'm going to talk about a couple of things that are kind of outside the testing world. So folks get to know the two of you, and I had one story for each of you. And Angie, I've learned that you run a fashion dress up game site. Now, how did you get into this business, and what things do you typically do for this site? And are you leveraging your testing and automation expertise there?
Okay. So the site is called Diva Chicks, and so I like fashion. I love games, which is why I was so drawn to the Domino's workshop when Paul presented it. So I grew up playing games, board games and things like Scrabble and cards and things like that. And I really enjoyed the ones that were more strategic. So as an adult, I like fashion. I still like games. And so there's a lot of little kind of dress up games on the internet where you have a doll and you dress her up, and that's about it. And so I kind of got bored with that really quickly and said that there needs to be more strategy to this. So I created my own game, which is Diva Chicks. And this is basically the same concept on steroids. So you have a doll, you dress her up, but there's this strategic element to it where you actually compete against other players to see who's best dressed. They do things like hot or not. They have ladders for battling, and people vote on it. The players vote on it. So there's about a little shy of 250,000 players who've signed up for the game. And so it's really fun. It's a really fun outlet for me. So I get to wear my developer hat over there. And since I'm in control, it's a much different experience than when I was working in the industry as a developer. But yeah, I also bring like the testing element in it as well. And what I find is it's really difficult to do both of those. It's like, it really is a different mindset. And so when I'm developing like new features for the site, I have to make a conscious effort to like switch my brain into test mode.
You know? I'm going to make a confession. I know a lot about the fashion dress up sites and all of the makeup sites and all of the young girl sites. And let me be clear why I said that, because I have a 9-year-old daughter.
I was going to say why, Mike.
I have a 9-year-old daughter who has downloaded every single last app that you can find. And I'm sure she probably already has this, but I will verify today, because okay. She has tried out. She has every makeup, every dress, every possible variation of fashion and makeup and little girl stuff. She's got it. And I get that prompt on my phone. Somebody wants to download this. And so I know it's her, because she downloads more apps than anybody in the house. So I can relate. I'll make sure she has this if she doesn't already. So Paul, as we were talking, like many people in testing, they didn't start out in a testing profession. Either they were in development or some area of IT. But in college, you started out in a completely different direction as an English major. And I'm interested in what led you to make that change from English to computer science. And have you leveraged any of your English courses to benefit your career now?
I'm sorry, are you talking to me? I'm making a diva chick.
All right, we've lost him.
I'm kidding. This is awesome. I didn't know you did this, Angie. This is great. Now I got to close the site up so that I can pay attention to what you said. No, seriously, so yeah, I started out in English in college. And really what happened was I thought that I was going to be in engineering growing up and in high school and all that. I thought that I'd be in one of the more harder engineering fields. And by hard, I mean like physical, like electrical engineering or mechanical engineering or something like that. I ended up going to more of a liberal arts school at Florida State, because that was a place where if I changed my mind, I knew that there were many opportunities there. You know, what I found while I was there is I was getting really good grades on my essays. Everything that I wrote would get at least a B+. And so that led me to think, well, if I'm good at writing, maybe that's what I should do. Well, I got pretty far into that and realized there was this whole, emergent market of the internet going on. And I was watching companies IPO and this huge boom that was going on in the late 90s. And I thought, well, that's really interesting. And I had always been interested in business. And I thought, well, you know, computer science seems like an interesting thing to do. And I could learn about business and I could learn different industries and kind of have this way of moving from one business to the next and learning about business while I was there. And I enjoyed it when I did it. So, you know, I transferred about 0 hours from English over to computer science. I was just about done with English and moved into computer science. And that was the story. And a lot of people think that it's a very, very different idea, that they're two very different things. But I was focused on writing. That was my focus for English. And so writing and putting a thought on paper is actually very similar to trying to take how you think and put it into ones and zeros. So to me, they're both trying to express ideas the best way they can.
I love that. And I think it's going to switch around my program. I was going to go to Andrew next, but I think I'd like to jump into your session, which is called Storytelling, the Magical First Steps of Automated Testing, because I've seen the power of storytelling. It's a powerful way to get your point across, whether it's in leadership or training or technical discussions or even just sharing status updates. I've given a workshop on metrics before called Tell a Story, Not a Number, and talking about stop sharing the percent complete and the tasks done and how far we are along in the project, and talk more about what is the quality of the product? What have we done? What have we investigated? And I think storytelling fills those gaps and makes things easier to understand. Your session is going to walk through a storytelling adventure related to automation. So what is the major message that you hope to convey to the attendees in this session?
Well, I'm hoping that these stories help folks understand how to succeed or how to fail with testing, or some ways to succeed and some ways to fail. My experience has been with client after client, with company after company, team after team. You know, you get to a point where you think you really know this stuff, where you think you've just totally got it on lock. And what I have found over time is that that's a very dangerous place to be. And instead, what I found is a better practice is to look at each one of these instances as being different and trying to figure out what's different in each one of these experiences, what's different in each one of these companies and teams, and why does something work in one team and not in another. And so I've kind of collected those stories, and I'm trying to put it into a more fairy tale like idea here, fairy tale kind of theme, because that's just fun and people like fun, right? So I'm hoping to put those stories into that type of frame and walk through it with everybody in a way that's approachable, and have a pretty open session there where people can bring their own experiences and comments on the fable of automated regression and the curse of the white knight, lord of the one size fits all solutions, and first steps in Munchkin Land.
Well, I think it was Mr. Rogers once that said, once you know someone's story, it's hard not to like them, or something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing, but I think storytelling is an excellent way to help share experiences, put things together like that. I really liked this session, and we're seeing a lot of folks very interested in this one in particular. And then, speaking of stories, Angie, you have a session called The Build That Cried Broken: Building Trust in Your Continuous Integration Test. And what I like about this is this description has appealed to many speakers. We had someone last night on the show that said, I will not miss this session. I mean, I'm going to be there for that. Anne Hungate said, I will be in that session no matter what happens. And I think it's the relation to the fable, The Boy Who Cried Wolf, for folks who don't or do know about that story. You know, many times we've got false alarms in our day-to-day task and we become immune to it. And I think this is going to be a session that people can relate to immediately. Yeah. I think you're going to have a lot of folks in there that want to hear what you have to share with them. So what is your message there, and what do you hope that they take away?
So this is a problem, like you said, that a lot of people are facing. So I see this and a lot of teams, and it gets to the point like it's just unmanageable. Like, you really don't know what to do other than throw your hands up and give up. And so what I want to do is kind of help people get out of that rut. And so I have some ideas that I've actually implemented with teams and have seen be successful. So I want to share those ideas on how to make your tests more stable. So we hear a lot about flaky automation tests, and those can be the death of a continuous integration process. So I want to help get those clean, and then also how to manage the tests that are failing. So it's, I haven't seen it done where you have like a 100% green bill every day, all the time. So that's just not realistic. So I'm going to also give some tips on how do you manage that and keep it green as often as possible, and how to influence the perception. So I've worked on a lot of teams where whoever didn't write the test just totally don't trust the test anymore because they're always red, right? And so there needs to be something done to kind of change that perception and build trust again in those tests. And so I'm going to give some techniques on that.
It really is. I see so many people signing up for that. You guys have got a great lineup. And so I wanted to ask you both, as you've looked over the other speakers and the other keynotes and sessions and workshops, what are some of the things that you see out there that's interesting you and that you want to make sure that you attend, and you know what you want to take away from them? Let's start with you, Angie.
Okay, so I'm definitely going to Paul's talk. I was just like wild with everything that Paul submitted to STPCon because Paul is my good friend. And so he's very analytical, and he can get very deep when he's teaching and talking. And so it seems like Paul is coming to STPCon to have a good time, and he's going to let his hair down. So I'm really
all of it.
He does.
I'm really interested to see him pull this storytelling talk off. I also want to see Anand Bagmar. So I met him in London at the Selenium conference. We both spoke there last year. Very smart guy. So he's going to be talking about design patterns of building test automation and managing test data. I love a good design pattern, so I'm really interested to see what he'll bring forth. Melissa Tondi, I really like her. She's going to do a talk. I think she's doing a couple. The one I want to hear is the automation, we're doing it wrong. So I've heard her speak at Automation Guild this month, and also heard on a couple of podcasts. And let me tell you, she gets it. And it's not very common to see a director who actually understands automation the way that she does. So I'll be there to be her choir to preach to. And also Amber Rice. So she's doing a Postman session. And I've done quite a bit of web services automation, but I'll admit I only use Postman when I need to like quickly verify something manually. And Amber, from what I understand, is the Postman whiz. So I'm really looking forward to picking up some neat tricks and tips from her.
Well, you have picked four really good ones. I want to touch on each of them because you've got me excited with every one you brought up. with Paul's, I definitely agree. He makes the audience engaged. I walked in to audit because when I was in Dallas last time, I go through and I sit in for a few minutes on the workshops, and then I go to the next one. I just want to kind of step around to the different workshops.
You were auditing me, Mike?
Yeah,
you were auditing me?
He hands me a USB drive and says, "Get to work. We don't have time to waste." I mean, he didn't take but a second, and I said, "I gotta go. This is too much." And I got out of there. But you know, it's very engaging. People love his presentations. Looking at Melissa Tondi, amazing. You're right. She gets it. We had her on a panel last time in Dallas. And that was brilliant. And Amber Race is going to be on the panel this time as well. And then Anand Bagmar, he's kind of a conundrum to me because you mostly meet people. I've known him and I've never met him personally yet. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I've noticed about him is most of the time somebody is an automation person, and they might be automation and they understand the hands-on testing, or they may be hands-on testing only, or they may be performance and they understand testing. They usually don't understand automation, performance, and everything else around the testing. He kind of, he can speak to all of that. And so I'm very interested in what he's going to bring to STPCon, because he's speaking on different, what I call genres, different topics, you know, that are just kind of ranging across the whole testing platform. So it should be interesting. And I know he's excited to be there, and it's going to be fun. You picked four good ones, and you're exactly right. So, Paul, you're up. Tell us about what you're hoping to see and be part of.
Yeah, well, so I had completely different ones than Angie. Of course, I would love to see Angie's. I think I've seen that particular talk, so it would be very easy to go and see.
This will be my first.
Is this a new one?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. It's Angie is so awesome. Every time I hear Angie speak, I'm like, she blows me away every time. Dan Billing and Mark Tomlinson are doing a workshop called Non-Functional Testing for Functional Testers. And if you've ever sat down with Mark, I had the opportunity at the last STP. And one of the things I love about STP is that it is a tight community. It's people who are there to learn from each other. They want to have conversations, and everybody seemed really open to sitting down and talking about what they're doing in their environments and where their experience has been and all those kinds of things. But I had a really good conversation with Mark a couple of times, and even his workshop last year, he did this workshop where he was talking about performance testing, and he had these puzzles that everyone was solving related to performance testing. It was so much fun. But a mind like that, I want to be around. And the fact that he's doing this with Dan Billing, I don't know Dan, but I followed him on Twitter and I read his blog every once in a while. And he is a sharp, sharp person, and I can't wait to meet him. I can't wait to see he and Mark together. So that would be the number one. Number two is the oil and water or peanut butter and jelly DevOps and regulatory compliance. Yeah. I love these things. Like though any title that has like 180 characters in it has got my attention. But so I'm looking forward to that one, and it sounds so creative. I have some clients right now who are in the regulatory area and looking toward DevOps. So I'm very interested in hearing what that one's about. And then also I got to go back to Mark, his keynote. Can't wait for that. And are they doing perf bytes at the conference this year?
Yes.
Excellent. So that is something that everyone has to go to. So they do a live recording of perf bytes, and that's his podcast. And it is so much fun. They are really good at what they do. And it was just a great time last year. So I can't wait for those. I feel like a Mark Tomlinson Homer here.
Well, the one thing I would tell you about Mark, he's very dynamic. I got connected with him at STPCon 5-6 years ago. And the thing that I noticed about him, you're right. When you're around him, you feel the energy, you feel the emotion that he has about testing. And at the time that I met him, he was a performance guy, but he said, I don't want to be stuck in that one place and just be a performance guy. He gets it the same as Anand does. And Mark gets it at a different level. Mark and I used to do courses with folks at STPCon on, you want to be a speaker, let's teach you how to be a speaker. And he's so dynamic. It's very similar to Damian Sinodinos with his improv and how he, you know, shares with people those things. You're right. Mark sits down with a lot of people. He's one of our, you know, kind of the names at STPCon that people want to talk to and meet, because he shares so many things with people. He wants to learn about their experiences. He wants to share with them his experiences. I've never really had anybody in the testing field. I've had several that have reached out and helped me, and people that have been there to support me. But when I was starting as a performance manager many years ago, Mark was the guy that just showed me how to get started and how to drive a performance team, taught me things that I had never really learned before. So the oil and water or peanut butter and jelly, DevOps and regulatory compliance, 50 words in one sentence. I think that one is appealing to a lot of people. And that is Brandon Carson. It's his first time speaking with STP, from what I gather, at least the first time I've seen him speak. And I've been there for 6 years now. So I think it's going to be very interesting to hear what he has to say. We know DevOps is a very hot topic. A lot of our attendees to the conference are very technical people. They want to know about performance and automation and DevOps, but DevOps is really kind of, you know, infiltrating a lot of our sessions, and folks are really interested in what they can do there. So I agree with you. I think this one's going to be very interesting, and he's going to have to live up to that name. That's the only thing I'll say there. The stage is set.
Yeah, I always like Eric's sessions, and I know that Connor, is it Fitzgerald? Is that his last name? Is going to be there as well. But I look forward to both of those as well. It's going to be a great session. You have such a good lineup here. So many big names. And you look at Rex Black is going to be there, and Hans Bowalda, and all these folks are, there are some really big names here and lots of great people to learn from and that want to learn from you too. Leo was terrific last year doing a, talking about Selenium. He's from Sauce Labs. Just a lot of really, really big names. This is going to be terrific.
Yeah. And I've said this, and folks who listen to every one of these broadcasts are probably sick of the end of my interviews because I say it every time, but it is true. I do believe we've got people from all around the planet. I mean, there's people from different countries, all different countries, people who have spoken in other countries and I've known for years, but never got to meet, that are going to be here. We've got people who are coming from other countries that have really established themselves in other conferences, but said, hey, I'd like to try out STPCon. And so I think it was so difficult, especially with the workshops, to put everything in order so that you didn't have, you know, everybody overlapping. And I tried to the only way we were able to accomplish it as a committee was to put things in different topics. So one automation, one performance, one leadership, and one strategy all in, you know, at the same time frame. Because if you didn't, you were going to have people overlapping that you wanted to be at both of them. And I think that's the struggle for a lot of folks is, I don't know where to go because I've got three things I want to go to at this time. And that's a good problem to have when you're building a program out like that. So my final question, I've got to change it up a little bit from what I usually do when I'm talking to one person. Since this is Angie's first time and Paul, I think it's your second time.
Yes, it is my second conference. Yeah.
So I have to ask you differently with Angie. Can you share what your expectations are and what you hope to accomplish at the conference being a first timer?
Oh, wow. I'm really excited to echo Paul's sentiments about all of the big names there. So I've had the pleasure of meeting some of them, but not everyone. And so a lot of people that I follow on Twitter and I read their blogs and things like that, I'm really looking forward to meeting them in person and learning more from them. Paul has also, so I'm cheating a little bit. Paul has given me a little bit of info on the conference. Before I wanted to come and speak, I was like, Paul, what's this conference like? And so he gave me some insight and he spoke very highly of it. And just said that it was a really great community feel there. And so I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome. And then Paul, you've attended before, but can you share with the audience what you like about it the most? What advice you would give to attendees, whether it's their first time or they're coming back?
Goodness, what do I like the most? Well, I like the people. I like the folks who are running it. And many times that kind of funnels down into the programming and the way it's run and all that kind of stuff. And it is run very well. I've been to a number of conferences and it's put together well. The planning is good. The food's good. The scheduling is good. Just they pick a great location, as far as I know, every time. There are just so many good things about the way that it's set up, even the timing of how things are set, this being throughout the week and not going over a weekend and stuff like that. There are just some really, really good things about the way that it's set up. What am I expecting this time? I think was the second part of that question. And I guess what I would say is, you know, I learned so much last time and I go to these things. I know that I'm speaking, but my objective with this is kind of twofold. Number one, to build new relationships and to get to know new people. I like making friends. I like getting to know people. I like knowing where they come from, what their challenges are, what they're struggling with. I love if there's anything I can do to help them out, I'm more than happy to do that in talking through things or whatever. But build relationships would be number one. And then number two is really learning. I mean, because I'm speaking doesn't mean that I'm not learning. In fact, I find that I learn a lot more sometimes through speaking. But you'll see me in a lot of these sessions listening to these folks and trying to understand where they're coming from and listening to the other people in the sessions and trying to understand that where they're coming from as well. It helps me with my clients. It helps me connect with my clients and to make sure to get them into successful places with test automation.
Great answer, both of you. And I'm looking so forward to seeing you guys in just less than a month in Phoenix. So Angie, Paul, it's been so great to talk to both of you. Thank you so much for your time today and being on the STP Radio show.
Thanks so much for having us, Mike.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mike. This has been fun, and I look forward to seeing everybody out in Phoenix.
Thank you so much. So, everyone, this concludes our next episode of STP Radio. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Stay tuned. We've got several more episodes coming. And if you haven't signed up yet for the conference, what are you waiting on? Get out there, get registered, reach out to me if you want a discount code, and we'll see you in Phoenix in March.
Thanks for listening to this episode of STP Radio, and stay tuned for more episodes. Learn more about the conference being held in Phoenix, Arizona, March 14th through 17th by visiting stpcon.com.